Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Well, if you haven't noticed, the world has gone insane, morally insane. And this is what's been prophesied, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged. You know, it's one thing when you read this in your Bible, it's a whole other thing when you see it unfold before you. Prophecy can be very academic and cerebral until we're called to live through it. Then it becomes a real faith builder. Well, to make this point, just some quick commentary here. In the New Jersey gubernatorial debates, the Democrat Phil Murphy laid into the Republican Jack Cittarelli because the Democrats caught Cittarelli saying to a group of parents that we shouldn't be teaching to our elementary school students sodomy. Cittarelli was commenting on the immoral LGBTQ public school curriculum that the Democrats mandated and the LGBT groups created. So Governor Murphy, in disgust and indignation, said, how could Cittarelli call any LGBTQ behavior sodomy? That calling it sodomy is a dog whistle for the radical right. And, you know, his comments alone should disqualify Cittarelli from being the governor. So now we have the governor of New Jersey openly approving of sodomy, not just approving it, but calling anyone who's against it evil. He even believes that children should have a positive view of sodomy. So in 21st century America, we are truly living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm hearing so many firsthand accounts of school boards, businesses, universities all going woke, fully embracing and pushing the LGBTQ agenda, transgenderism, the erasure of gender, and communism. Teachers at Rutgers are openly indoctrinating students in this new way of thinking. It's become America's new religion. Well, here's an interesting article. France rejects America's woke culture. A cover story by Le Spectacle du Monde, one of France's leading magazines, recently ran a piece entitled The Suicide of America, in which it blames the deadly withdrawal from Afghanistan on a woke dictatorship of Biden and questions whether America's empire is collapsing. The article goes on to say that woke culture is also radicalizing France, and it's something very dangerous, and they shouldn't bring it to France. Now, France and the entire Western world is just as bad as the United States, but I bring up this article because I'm hearing from many people outside the United States asking what is happening in America. Well, the answer is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the apostasy, the rebellion that must come first, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. Satan's main target is likely to be the most powerful nation on earth when he releases a horde of demons to infect men with doctrines of demons. He's probably going to send them first to America, because a Christian America would be Satan's greatest obstacle. Well, those are just some interesting news items. But on this week's program, I want to encourage you with this truth. God is going to soon reestablish his authority on earth. God is soon going to have a great reset. I have this on the authority of biblical prophets. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Micah chapter 1, verse 3, for behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. And in the New Testament, this word of encouragement to God's people is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. You will be relieved of affliction when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. In 1 Peter 1:13, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But you say, wait a minute, that promise was 2,000 years ago. Where is the God of justice? Well, though the mills of God grind slowly, they grind exceedingly small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness grinds he all. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Remember, it was the post-exilic Jews who, seeing all of the evil in the ancient empires in their day, said, where is the God of justice? And God said, you are wearying the Lord with your words. And God answered them, behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, declares the Lord. God is coming. Another interesting text is Jude 14. The first prophet, Enoch, was saying this in 4000 BC, even before the great Noahic flood. Jude 14, it was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. It's clear that Jude is prophesying the coming of the Messiah in glory. But why does Jude use the past tense? The Lord came, not the Lord is coming. Well, it's a figure of speech called the prophetic past, where the event is so sure that we can speak about it as having already taken place. Do we have that same kind of faith? So as to see the coming kingdom of Christ as a completed event. So, the Lord is coming to reestablish his authority over the earth. And of course, in a sense, God is always in authority. His authority doesn't need to be reestablished. Matthew 28, all authority has been given to Christ. But still, the scriptures teach that Jesus is not yet fully reigning. 1 Corinthians 15, 25, all things have not yet been put under his feet. We are living in a transition time where for a few thousand years, which is just a blip on the screen of eternity, sin is allowed to exist in God's universe, but God is about to do a great reset. Now, I'm using this contemporary slogan, the Great Reset, because that describes perfectly the prophecy. When the wickedness of this world reaches a climax, God is going to have a great reset, evil will be destroyed, and righteousness will rule. And the Great Reset was the language used at the recent World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Now, if you track this stuff, you know all the alarm bells that went off in conservative circles when the theme for the 2021 WEF was the Great Reset. That because of COVID, the world needs to come together in globalism to reorder society and economic priorities. This was all based on a paper written by Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum. And all the business leaders and politicians loved it. Schwab is a major world influencer. He's Henry Kissinger's protege. And he's a far-left atheist, of course. The bottom line is that using the COVID pandemic, leaders from around the world can accelerate social change. You know, Biden and the Democrats, their campaign called Build Back Better is based on the exact same philosophy of the Great Reset. And the Great Reset slogan is just another title for the UN's Communist Agenda 21, that philosophy that started back in the 1990s. But the point of the Great Reset is to use the COVID pandemic to accelerate these leftist policies. Specifically, the change that Schwab was preaching was that business leaders should not just value shareholders, but stakeholders. In other words, value the entire society. So So businesses should get political and begin to influence politics, whereas the old school way of doing business was just make your product and leave ethics and politics to other people. But this new philosophy is why so many companies are becoming woke and hiring diversity, equity coordinators. The left wants to get businesses on their side, and so Schwab's ideology is the excuse and the justification that they were looking for. So you're not a good business unless you go woke and support the social justice policies of the left. And this is being called a better kind of capitalism, that companies aren't not just economic units. They are to fulfill human and societal aspirations, environmentalism, socialism, and to support increased influence of government, higher taxes, and of course globalism, open borders. The nation state is an obstacle to their agenda. And company performance needs to be judged not just on the basis of the financial bottom line, but how woke a company has become. And these people are instituting corporate ratings accordingly. Schwab is a real totalitarian. He has called for electronic IDs for every person on Earth, linked to people's health records, their bank accounts, and their online activity. He believes in government surveillance, in social credit scores. Schwab writes this: the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must transform. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. What is he talking about? Socialism, communism, totalitarianism, all under new labels. Ben Shapiro, in his new book, The Authoritarian Moment, references Schwab as the poster child for this totalitarian movement. And it's sweeping the world. Bill Gates and other billionaires are on board with this program. And because of this philosophy coming out of the World Economic Forum, that's why some Christian conservatives who know these things are saying that the response to COVID-19 is all about government power and control. They might have wrong-headed policies, but it seems like their hearts are in the right place until you start reading what some of these world leaders are saying about using the coronavirus to push broader economic social controls. And there are Democrat leaders who have these same globalistic ideas running in the back of their mind when they make up COVID policy. They actually want a great reset, and if COVID can help them achieve their political ends, so be it. Back in the spring, Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package had almost nothing to do with medical help, but funded all sorts of leftist socialist wish lists. And the current $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, which is being pushed because they say we need to build back the economy from COVID, is funding all sorts of new socialist policies, which have really nothing to do with the virus or the economy. So you wonder why conservatives are suspicious about this COVID panic? It looks like these people are using the crisis to push their broader socialist agenda. Because they believe their socialist agenda will fix everything in the world, not just the coronavirus. Now, my take on this is that this is not happening because of those nasty ideological leaders at Davos. This is already the spirit of our age. The spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you had heard that it's coming and now is already in the world. These ideas coming out of the World Economic Forum would fall flat if it weren't for the paganism in the general population. The people want these ideas. The people generated these ideas. They have heaped to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. If Klaus Schwab had never been born and had never written the Great Reset, we would still pretty much be in the same situation. Because it's not just Schwab, but millions of social leaders across the world who think the same way. Schwab and the World Economic Forum are just reflecting what already is. Schwab isn't this one guy making the world evil. He just represents how the evil world already thinks. That this is the spirit of this age. The great rebellion of 2 Thessalonians 2 and Psalm chapter 2. Even Schwab says in his book, The Great Reset, it's not COVID-19 that will directly cause permanent change to society, but rather the pandemic will accelerate the changes that were already underway. But here's my point, and this should be an encouragement. While the world thinks that they are going to enact a great humanist reset, God is the one who's actually going to reset the world in righteousness. Their reset will fail, but God's reset's going to win. Now, don't misunderstand. God will allow the wicked to attempt to reset the world. He will allow the coming reign of the Antichrist. But he is allowing this to judge the world and hence bring in his own great reset. These world leaders are going down. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them and they will not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. God is going to have the last laugh. And we can laugh at them because we see that their day is coming. Psalm chapter 37. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. God always reestablishes his authority. He always has a great reset. So let's quickly cover some biblical teaching on this. 1600 years after God created Adam and Eve, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God moved to reassert his authority and stop the evil. He destroyed the entire earth and saved Noah and his family. And from then on, man's lifespan was shortened. But then a few centuries after the flood, people of the earth tried to build a centralized one world government. Genesis chapter 11. God confused the languages, scattered the people into nation states. Because when an elite group of people consolidate power, it always results in evil and the persecution of the righteous. The wicked always get empowered by monopolizing resources. So God reestablishes authority at Babel and he stopped the evil. Then a few centuries later, we read in Genesis chapter 19, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were engaging in homosexuality, and God reestablishes authority by making an example of Sodom by pouring down upon it fire and brimstone. Did that event really reestablish God's authority in this world? Did the other nations of the world even hear this news story? And did it put other nations in check, producing a fear of God and respect for natural law? It certainly did. But given the wickedness of this world, it didn't last long. God said that the whole region of the Middle East would need to be judged once the iniquity of the Amorites was full. Genesis 15, 16. God was also reestablishing his authority by choosing Abraham to found a nation to represent Jehovah God. And through that nation would come the great reestablishment of God's authority, the seed of the woman, the Messiah, who would crush the head of the serpent. We see the miraculous judgments upon Pharaoh, in that Pharaoh tried to thwart the purposes of God. God reestablished his authority over all of Egypt. Then in the wilderness wanderings, the miraculous judgments that fell upon the unbelieving Jews, Then once in the land of Canaan, we see God reestablishing his authority by raising up judges, using men like Samson to put down the power of the Philistines. So we see God continually reestablishing his authority in Israel, punishing the wicked, so that the remnant of God's elect would be protected. If you draw an XY graph, and on the Y-axis you put the levels of righteousness, and on the X-axis you put time, the graph would look like a seismograph. The line would go down, and then the Noahic flood would come, and the line would spike up, then gradually descending until the Tower of Babel, then the line would spike up again. The world has been constantly going downhill since the creation, but God intervenes along the way to keep the world going. Because if it weren't for God's intervention, man would destroy himself in his sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God is restraining the mystery of iniquity. But you ask, if God can intervene at any time, why doesn't he intervene more? Doesn't God see the wickedness? Psalm chapter 10, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Well, the reason why God allows sin is because we all know, and we all have to admit, that God's people are led to God by seeing the examples of sin. And so God leaves sinners in this world to teach those who are to be saved. The prodigal son had to have a wicked far country to go into, a place to waste his father's wealth, so that he would learn and come to his senses. So everything that's happening in this world right now is designed to bring in the final harvest of souls for the kingdom of Christ. With what's happening, the line is being drawn in the sand. People are going to have to either make a decision for or against Christ, and the social political environment is making that decision quite clear. So we know that sin will not continue for very long, and God will reestablish his authority in this world. The only question is this: is what we're seeing right now leading up to that final reestablishment of God's authority? Is the proliferation of sin in this world right now the prophesied final proliferation? Where the biblical prophecy tells us that at the end of this age, God will remove his restraint and delay his usual reset, so that the whole world will see where the sin of man leads, and so that the world will judge itself with its own moral insanity. Well, there have been many bad times throughout the church age, but given the global nature of the current run on sin, the satanic ideology behind it, the rebellion against God's natural law, sure looks like we're close to the end. And that God's coming reset will be the big reset, the apocalypse and the coming of Christ. Well, you've been listening to God and Country Radio. For the extended video version of this program, go to God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube. But as I predicted last week, I was thrown off of YouTube for telling the truth about government COVID policy. So I have one full strike and I'm not able to upload videos for a week. I'm in detention for being bad. But fortunately, I also have my videos uploaded to the free speech platform Rumble.com. So go to Rumble.com, click on channel search, and go to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is video number 186, God's Great Reset. Thank you for listening. Thank you for including God and Country as one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to have faith and understanding concerning your work in this world. May we endure with patience, knowing that you're about to come out of your place to save your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.